Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Good morning again here on Circles of Change, reaching out to Suzanne Goldstein out in the Boston area. How are you this morning, Suzanne?
I'm doing great, Zara. How are you?
Just fine. And of course, our listeners, I teed up a bit in beforehand. We're going to turn the tables here, but I want to set the context for our listeners. Suzanne, of course, is a very talented consultant, coach, author, public speaker, loves to carry her paintbrush to help people design and redesign their own careers, as well as is known as the Business Accelerator, where she works inside of companies. We have a tremendous amount of things in common, in particular, both being mechanical engineers, right?
Yay, absolutely.
And also with an artistic bent. So there's this double whammy of right and left brain. So one can probably imagine that any time the two of us get a chance to chat, when it's not on air or off air, we get pretty animated. And in fact, that was where we went this week. Both of us, and I in particular, was kind of on a rant about consulting in general.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought with that, I'm going to turn the table over to you and see if I can let you take charge.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting. First of all, it's always so great to be talking with you, and I do feel like we've been fortunate to find each other. So I'm glad for this opportunity, and I'm excited to turn the tables on you, because I think one of the things the listeners might not get from you as much as, you know, all the brilliance that you bring to your many years of work, both inside companies and as a consultant going inside companies. And so this opportunity to really parse this, I think, is going to be a fun one. So out of our rant the other day, I think I want to try to start this conversation at the beginning. A lot of people ask me this question a lot, and I would love to hear how you answer it, because it can be confusing. So the question is, what is consulting?
Yeah, that's it's a great foundational point. And many times I get into this conversation with young professionals who are thinking of launching into consulting, either straight from a business degree or just a couple years of work experience. And I always caution them to say, you know, do you want to be able to talk about things and tell people what to do, or do you want to demonstrate it based on your own in-depth experience? And there's a big difference. In other words, why would I, as a leader in a company that's struggling with a given challenge, you name it, perhaps we just came out of bankruptcy and now we know we want to make sure that we place all our top talent in the right place and not throw out any more babies with the bathwater.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why would I want to go enlist the help of a 25 to 28-year-old individual? Albeit brilliant, great skills. Certainly, you folks in that age group have got the techie stuff down pat. For those of us a little bit more, that have a little bit more silver hair, as I'd say. But at the end of the day, though, can you really translate based on hard-earned experiences, information in a way that can help a company? So let me back up and talk.
The kind of consulting you're talking about, just to clarify, is that so people going to a McKinsey, which is a big consulting firm where you go through a training program and all of a sudden you're stamped consultant and you're supposed to know how to go consult. Is that what you're talking about?
Either that, or individuals that also think they've had a lot of substantial good work experience that they want to translate that and offer to others.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to take away anything from anyone, because we have a responsibility and an opportunity to share our experiences. But when it comes to the whole area of consulting, that really what we're looking at is that individuals that get paid to come up with answers, not ask questions, although that's part of our role, but really are getting paid because we've got some answers. And the answers could be in the form of a special business model, a new system that could bring forward to help a company guide it through where it is now to get to another place. However, the real key, though, it isn't just answers for the sake of answers, but it's a way to focus the organization on performance.
Mm.
It's really clear, no kidding, surely, business results. And also, though, the consultants have to be in a position of being very objective, meaning that we've got to be very agile and change midstream if perhaps the answers that we are bringing to bear, the models may not match or need to be expanded in new ways. And in fact, particularly for those of us who become consultants later in life, in other words, that we've had a depth and breadth of experience And that's code for saying we've screwed it up several times ourselves and hopefully won a lot of the games in the process, that we nonetheless can bring to bear a whole much broader perspective and remain objective and know that we've got to change.
Well,
I think
so let me ask you a question.
I was going to say, and one final point that really can bespeak the strongest consultants are those who can address a situation using quantitative information.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say in this day and age, also have a grasp on the qualitative side, meaning you can run it by the numbers, setting up metrics and systems that allow leaders to take proactive action, not just look at the rearview mirror. But in this day and age in particular, also have a handle on the softer side, the more qualitative attributes. And you know what? At the end of the day, that comes from experience.
Okay. Wow. So there was a lot of good stuff in there.
There's a short answer, right?
Yeah, exactly. Let me see if I can parse it apart. Because the first thing you said was that it's about people giving ideas to companies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, everybody has ideas. Personal, and everybody has opinions. We know that. So what differentiates a consultant from anyone who would hang up a shingle? And the reason I want to get to that is then once people understand that, the difference between, say, freelancing and consulting,
right,
then we can dive a little bit deeper into some of your later points, which were what's the difference between agility and people handing over reports.
You
can start there.
Yeah, well, I think the real difference is for those who can bring to bear, and certainly they can bring to bear, a series of case studies that can demonstrate that the precepts they're presenting are rock solid. And I don't mean I read about it in a book and thus it's this. No, it's the time in which my team and I moved the factory location from X to Y.
Mm-hmm.
Or my team and I from this consulting venue, we worked with these five organizations, one in financial services, one in manufacturing, one in, you know, more general assembly versus manufacturing. So that you see a breadth of experience walking in the door.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, as we often talk on our show here about the differences between bonding and bridging social capital, what you get with the right consultant is they're not just walking in as the individual, but actually there's portions, this tacit knowledge they've acquired from working across a whole set of companies that are also you as the client getting access to. That's
right.
The difference than someone who suddenly hangs out a shingle and might be schooled in all sorts of right precepts and taken the class and so on, but at the end of the day, can they really show the bumps and bruises and stripes by having done it, not just talked about doing it?
Yeah, and I just want to add something to that, because there have been a lot of people in this very difficult, you know, job market situation we've been in that have been like, I'm in between my jobs, I'm looking for a new job, and in the meanwhile, I'm just going to hang out a shingle and be a consultant. And
mm-hmm.
I think the biggest thing for me is, yes, the experience, absolutely, you have to have that gravitas walking in the door. But I think also being a great consultant means you know how to actually go in and consult.
Oh, absolutely.
There's an expertise that comes, and you are considered the expert. And with that comes responsibility. And so to that point, what is your responsibility as a consultant? And why should they hire a consultant, not a full-time person?
Yes, that's a very good question. Why not a full-time person? Actually, many firms should consider that if they really view that the expertise that a given consultant is bringing to them is something they want to see sustained within their organization. And in fact, they want to see it multiply and flourish. But one way to start that would be to say, you know, do we really need an expertise in, you know, quantitative analysis, as an example? Well, maybe, you know, we don't have enough core experts here as it is, or we don't have the fertile ground for someone to step into that role that they then could flourish and really impact us. So by bringing an outside consultant in who right away can power up the expertise and also demonstrate how it can be used, and for the right consultant then mentor and foster that expertise within your company, and then as in the most important part of this then is have a predetermined exit strategy of how they softly back out so that the firm is left with the goods, shall we say.
Absolutely. I mean, the funny thing about us as inside consultants, as I like to call us, is that our job is essentially to work our way out of a job.
Exactly. But let's make a distinction, though, that consultants like you and I don't feel our role is to come in and merely assess the situation and tee up possibilities for how to improve it. I call it, and again, all good consultants, if they really do have a good background to walk in, is they've got multiple antenna that they're up and listening, not just walking in with, well, here's my standard package, here's my model, here's the 10 steps we put you through, click, click, we're done, we're out of here. I almost call it the get in, assess, write the report, get out.
Yeah.
Now, indeed, some companies and organizations, though, that's all they would like. They would like an objective view and the report, and then they want to take it from there. So part of our opportunity as consultants, I know you and I have talked about this, is we as well have to be interviewing our clients.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's difficult sometimes to walk away from what might appear to be a good client, but if they aren't in sync with wanting to know that my desire is to not write a report, although I certainly would have that as a deliverable, but that my joy is to really stand right side by side, if not right slightly behind, with my hand strongly between the shoulder blades of my client so they don't back up and that they can move forward, and then I will back my hand off when I know they can walk alone.
Oh, that's a great visual. I absolutely love that. I learn something from you every time we talk. It's so wonderful. I do have one question, though.
Sure.
So, you know, we've gone through, okay, it's sometimes you do want a full-time person, but in some cases you might want to start small and have a consultant come in to really tee it up the right way and, you know, be inside the company doing the actual work. So now you've decided, okay, I do want a consultant. How do you pick one? We talk about inside agile consultants versus, you know, more traditional, write a report, throw it over the wall, okay, you guys go execute it. How would a company decide which one they need?
Well, I think this is where, at the end of the day, the power of referral is tremendously important. And the best way is to go surf the horizon and looking perhaps colleagues in other tangential businesses that have gone through some of the same challenges you have been through, and go ask. Certainly your technical associations or industry associations you can be part of, that the reputation of those companies of consultants, whether it be a single solopreneur or a group of consultants that could help you on a specific set of problems.
Mm-hmm.
I do think the best way, though, is certainly the whole request for quote process. But don't get tricked by the massive PowerPoint slides or the slick brochures.
Mm-hmm.
Because, by the way, slick brochures many times spell big money in background, large overhead. So it may not mean exactly what you want to partner with. However, again, if it's a firm, though, that has a reputation of having, you know, made the right things happen within your industry, a certain suite of companies, it's a good one to check. Still, at the end of the day, it comes down, though, to chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to look across the table, eye to eye, with someone who you're about to turn over, really, a tremendous amount of confidential information, and likewise, that person is going to go in, or persons, see things that you wouldn't know how to see because they bring an outside vantage point to it.
Mm-hmm. And I think the question then becomes, which are you more comfortable with? Someone coming in and sitting elbow to elbow with you and your team, not only doing the interviewing and finding out, digging and ferreting out all the problems, but do you want them actually sitting side by side helping create solutions? And I know that for me, that's one of the biggest differentiators for our kind of consulting, is that, you know, we get our hands dirty. And it is a different kind of relationship. And I think, you know, depending on what kind of company you are and what you're looking to achieve, there are different options to go for, and they're all valid.
Sure.
I think it's just what works best.
Well, part of it also, it's sort of, maybe let's talk about that analogy of when you were maybe in high school and you went to the high school dance, and, you know, do I bring a date or don't I bring a date?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe I'm not going to bring a date because then I could dance around with a lot of different people, or I'm going with a group, as opposed to taking a date, and then there really is this, clearly, I'm kind of expected to have my dance card filled up with that individual as my colleague, my partner.
Right.
So the analogy of when you open up your field of view as a company or an organization that needs help, It doesn't necessarily mean by hiring that one consulting organization that that would be the only people you use. Mm. However, you have to be mindful then, if you've got multiple dials that you got to turn at the same time, is to find a consultant that has had that systems perspective on running a business, mm-hmm. not, for example, be just the marketing expert who can help you on your social media strategy. Mm-hmm. Because you might find out in the course of doing your social media strategy that, oh my goodness, how can we get there? We've got so many operational problems in our supply chain area, and can this company we've invited in bridge over to there? Likely not. So we have to be really mindful of that, of how far you can stretch a person or how far that consultant thinks they can go and provide the kind of performance outcomes like you and I like to see happen.
So I know, Zara, that you don't do anything typical.
Isn't that the truth, right?
The word "you" and "typical" should never appear in the same sentence.
Thank you.
But knowing that, the kind of work that you love to do, that you're known for doing, what is that? Specifically,
it would be specifically when a company comes to me and says, you know, we are on the horns of a dilemma. And particularly, you know, just the quick analogy is we are running the race car flat out, but we know we have to change out the tires.
Mm.
And so we need to keep moving the business, both on a tactical standpoint, but strategically, we either see something that's about to hit us, or it has just hit us, or we want it to hit us. So, for example, a client of mine that came out of bankruptcy, they were very concerned about not having all the players in the right chairs and also attracting the right new talent. But at the same time, they still wanted to inspire insiders to those opportunities. They knew they wanted to double, if not triple, the size of the company in 5 years. It was private equity funded, so that then they could spin off and go on to a next life. And, oh, by the way, in the mix of this, we'd like to go even more global than where we are.
Now, there's a lot there.
There's a lot there. And a consultant like myself who can walk in and stand very strong and bring a leadership development process that was all about how can we find out who's hiding under what mushroom and also perhaps who isn't fit the best possible way they could.
Mm-hmm.
And a way, by the way, gee, we are considering about this acquisition. Should we not go in and do a talent management evaluation? Which, mind you, most acquisition strategies do not include. They spend all their time on the physical assets, the financial assets, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even the liabilities and products. But do we do something rigorous on the people side? Which, at the end of the day, that's what's going to make the merger happen. And then the firm as well, the next step says, gee, we're not only going to go and expand our factory footprint, but we think we need a principal operating company overseas to manage growth and our branding persona on a global basis. So, again, for me, as you know, my background, 55 years old, yes, proud of that, and then across a whole variety of different issues and problems. But I would say, back to your question, really, of the ideal client, for me is when I walk in, we turn over all the rocks together, we say, oh my gosh, look at all these scorpions, but not to worry, I've dealt with probably each one of those, if not a system of them, in the past. Now, how can we shade it in a different way to move the company forward?
Mm. Wow. That's great. Absolutely great.
And then take a deep breath and say, when's it time for me to graduate and for them to graduate to go on their own?
Yeah, and I think, you know, there's always a bittersweet kind of thing that happens in that, right?
Oh, there is.
When I've had clients that I've worked for multiple years, you know, and depending on what we're doing, they have up to 100% of my time and down to 20% mm-hmm. of my time. Mm-hmm. And there comes a point where you realize that it's taking time to take the training wheels off.
Yes.
And they can just run.
Yeah. And by the way, they're going to run faster than you ever thought.
Exactly.
But the other side of it is, though, lo and behold, if you've built the reputation, the association with them, it might be a couple years later or 5 years later, who knows, they may be coming back to you now with a whole new set of opportunities that says, mm-hmm. Suzanne's the person or Zara's the person.
Yep.
And even the other piece of it, of course, that you and I get great delight is so-and-so calls us and says, by the way, client X said, you're the person.
Yeah.
And so that power of the referral makes this happen.
And I think that relates really well into, you know, when you talk about circles of change and you know, I talk a lot about creating your own path. That's exactly what it's about. It's about doing good work. It's about getting a great reputation. It's about treating people with fairness and kindness. And helping others like you've helped me tremendously over this past year.
And it all comes back to us, doesn't it? Well,
it
Sin, thanks.
It all comes around.
It does. Thank you very much. This is a great conversation.
Oh, it was
fun. Loved having the tables turned. Suzanne Goldstein from Carry a Paintbrush and our Business Accelerator, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Zara. We'll catch up with you soon.
Take care. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.